Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mental Health Much. My name is Vincent, and I'm a French-Canadian psychotherapist living in Toronto. As a therapist, I'm fascinated by anything that has to do with mental health. So on this podcast, I invite friends and colleagues over to talk about it. Being a gay man, I'm obviously more interested in anything queer-related, as well as topics that are pro-feminist, pro-trans, and anti-racist. This week, I'm meeting with my friend Zent to discuss the topic of fashion and mental health. Hi, Zent.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. I'm really happy to finally have you on my podcast. We were just saying that we have been talking about it for a few months.
I know. It's been a while. I remember listening to your first episode and I was like, oh my God, like, this is so great. I want to be on it. Like, how do I get on it? So I'm really happy and excited to be here.
I'm really excited to have you. And as we discussed a few months ago, I decided to have you as my last guest of season one of Mental Health Much. How are you feeling about being the last person on season one?
Very, very honored. Very honored. Thank you so much. Save the best for last.
You're like the dessert of season one of Mental Health Much.
Love it.
Also for everyone, season one is over now. I need a little break, but I will come back. I think season two is going to look slightly different from season one. I don't want to reveal too much. I will keep some of the surprise. But in season two, I think we will dive more into what I do for a living at work. And then for season three, I will come back with the formula that you have now grown to love and expect from Mental Health Much. So I will probably take like a few weeks and then start recording season two in the fall. So you won't have long to wait. Zent, so you are a friend of mine. We met through a friend of a friend. I want to say like the first week that I moved to Toronto, I think my partner at the time met you through someone they met on a dating app, and the rest is history.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I remember you had just gotten into Toronto. And for me, actually, I was also kind of like fresh into Toronto. I moved to Toronto to study fashion at Ryerson. I was doing my master's. I was also like very new to the city. And I was only there, you know, for the duration of my master's, and you obviously ended up staying. And I'm glad that we've been able to reconnect, you know, and here we are.
Yeah, that's the best part about my podcast, is I just got to reconnect with so many people. And I've asked so many people to be on my show, and overwhelmingly, everybody has said yes. And I like have not even had the chance to have everyone that I want yet. So I'm really excited to be able to continue for more seasons in the future. So then you have a master in fashion from Ryerson. So when we talked about what we wanted to talk, it made sense for you to choose fashion. But before we talk about this, tell us, for the audience who don't know you at all, Zent, who are you? What do you love?
I'll do just a quick run of basics. I was born in Mexico City. Both my parents are Mexican. I grew up between Canada and Mexico. I recently moved back to Canada, actually. I was living in Chicago for about 6 years. And so now I split my time between Montreal and Matane, here in the province of Quebec. I am also married to a wonderful man named Eric. We are celebrating 10 years, actually, this year of marriage.
Hi, Eric.
Which is amazing. And yeah, I have a college degree in textiles. My undergrad is in business. And as I mentioned, my master's is in fashion. I am a gay man. I am cisgender, but also gender nonconforming. Basically, I think just to clarify for some people, because it does get thrown in with non-binary, I would say that basically I identify with the gender that was given to me at birth, except I don't always express it or perform it in a traditional way.
That's really interesting. And obviously, talking about fashion, we'll have a lot of time and space to explore that in this episode.
Absolutely.
And I ask this question to everyone, you know that. What is your relationship with mental health?
You know what? It's really interesting, because I think throughout my entire life, I just never really thought about it. You know, obviously all the coping mechanisms that I had were working and everything was good up until about maybe 2.5 years ago, when life started throwing really hard balls at me. And then I couldn't handle it. And there was like a moment when I literally wanted to run away from my life. And I had a friend of mine who's a therapist, and you know, they recognized, you know, that I was kind of in a bit of a crisis. And, you know, they were really kind and gentle enough to kind of sit me down and be like, hey, like, I think you should maybe talk to a therapist or try to really think about your mental health a little more. And so then I embarked on that journey. I found a therapist. This is when I was living back in Chicago, and I'm still working with her. I mean, the timing was unbelievable, because even though at the time there were so many difficult things that were happening, life just got even more difficult. Mm-hmm. There was just a whole bunch of life adjustments. And I think that if I didn't have the support from my therapist, I don't really know if I would have been able to make it, or even if I would be able to be sitting down with you here having this chat. So I think I've just been very conscious and very intentional in taking care of my mental health, which is something I wasn't doing before. And as I say, it's better late than never. But yeah, it's a journey, and I'm here for it.
It's really interesting that you say, if I had not taken the time to work on myself and go to therapy, I don't think I could be sitting here and doing this podcast. I don't know why, but that really stuck with me as you were saying it.
I think, to be a bit more clear with you, I think because mental health to me was just something that was really related to mental illness. And it was something that I just brushed kind of under, you know, under the rug, and it wasn't really a thing. And I think, you know, if I didn't have this awareness, like, I would be like, oh no, this isn't even important. I don't even know what this podcast is. Like, who cares? And that's what I mean. You know, it's like, I would not have the interest or even really the capacity, because I think, I don't know what, I would probably blown up my life at this point. If I had not really like taken a serious kind of just like sit down with myself and just, you know, worked on it.
You know, some of my episodes are people living with very chronic depression and ADHD and stuff that is more quote unquote like recognizable as mental illness. And then there are other things like talking about fashion and how it affects us, talking about circus, talking about spirituality, sobriety, things that are not as directly linked when we think about mental health in the way that you used to be thinking.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, everything is really intertwined. And I love all the different aspects of seeing how mental health really touches, you know, everything.
So speaking about fashion, I made a post on Instagram a little while ago because I wanted to follow more people that did not have a typical model body and that had a cool fashion sense. And I think this is when we knew that you're going to come on my podcast, but we didn't know what we're going to talk about. And when you saw that post, I think this is when it sort of like crystallized for both of us. This is what you and me should be talking about. But what made you pick this topic? What interests you in this topic?
Fashion is something that we all live with. The way to think about fashion, particularly for, you know, this discussion, is like the moment you get up in the morning and you get dressed to go into society, you are participating in fashion. And there is actually a very psychological effort that goes into getting dressed. At some point, we had to develop, you know, these sort of routines. And there's always a negotiation that's happening. A lot of the times it's unconscious, but many times it's also conscious about basically dressing appropriately for whatever it is that we're doing in our life, whether it's going to school, whether it's going to work, whether it's playing a sport, going to an event. We are constantly actually having to think about what we're going to put on our backs before we get out the door, because we don't live naked in society, right? And so I think it's this aspect that we don't necessarily think about. We think about maybe trends or the superfluous things about fashion or maybe other things, but really it can be very taxing on a person to have to think about these things every day, particularly when you're not doing very well. You know, it's one of the things that go out the door first. But I think it's something that touches everybody, both mental health and fashion. And so, you know, being that it is your expertise and my expertise, I think it's the perfect thing to talk about.
Was that discussed at all in your classes in the master in fashion? Was mental health or social norms sort of like on the topic at all? Or is it just because you're interested that you make the link?
I mean, we definitely talked a lot about the social norms and the social aspect of fashion. I don't think we ever really talked about it specifically with the words mental health. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we necessarily took that specific angle, but definitely there were a lot of discussions, a lot of classes that obviously deal with everything from gender to class, obviously history.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I remember as a kid in high school, I was hoping so much that our high school would have a uniform so that I would not have to wonder every single day what to wear. But I'm pretty sure most of the kids who had a uniform when they were younger were wishing the opposite. So I guess you're never happy with what you have.
That, you know what, that's very interesting. And I, you know, I had a bit of both, because when I was in Canada, we didn't obviously have a uniform. And then when, you know, when I was in Mexico, I was at a school for a while that you had a uniform. And it was very difficult for me because I was used to not having a uniform and I felt very constrained. You know, and this is exactly what I'm talking about in terms of like how we think about it differently. For you, it would have been like this freedom of like, I don't have to think about what I'm wearing. Whereas for me, it's like, oh, you're like repressing. You're repressing me and like what I want to wear. And I don't necessarily feel comfortable in this uniform or whatever. But I think even when we are wearing uniforms, there are always elements of fashion going on because people will wear the uniforms differently and people will wear watches or they'll wear, you know, a different like hairband or they'll wear earrings. So like really like, even though we might want to think that we're going to escape fashion somehow, like we don't. So it's still tricky, even when you're wearing a uniform, I think high school, no matter what.
Yeah, I think high school being tricky is the one thing people can get away with probably every episode of Mental Health Much, especially for queer people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to some music for a few seconds and then come back because I'm really excited to discuss this topic with you. We're back talking about fashion with my friend Vincent, fashion and mental health. And I think everybody knows that a little bit, but one of the places where I would like for us to start is the difference between high fashion and market fashion. I think it's going to be important and inform the rest of our conversation, so it makes sense for me to start there.
Absolutely. There are different ways that we can define a market fashion versus high fashion. The easiest way that we can do that is definitely by price, but a lot of the times they can look very much the same. Mm-hmm. I definitely think that for the purposes of our conversation, we can refer to high fashion when we're talking about maybe, you know, expensive in the luxury sector versus market fashion, more something that's more accessible to others in terms of price range.
What about the difference between runway fashion and, you know, what I buy in a store? Because sometimes on runways, these things are unwearable, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting about runways or about fashion imagery is that a lot of it is very highly produced. And so basically what happens is you're using a certain type of body, you're using lights, you're using music, you're using a certain stage to create a very fantastical image. And then when you actually go to the stores, you will see a lot of these items and they won't necessarily have that same sort of craziness because an item is like alone. Usually there's an impact. You have the dress and you have the hairstyle and you have the shoes. And so there's this big compounded effort that the fashion industry wants to sell you, right? They want to sell you this dream of like, you can look like this high glamorous, you know, person.
But can you really?
But can you really? I mean, maybe for Lady Gaga, yes.
We say hi to her too.
Yes.
She's a regular listener of my podcast.
And there's obviously as well some adaptation. You know, there's some pieces that are just made for the runway and that you may not find in stores for sure. And this will depend on the brand, on, you know, what they're trying to communicate. But ultimately, I think runway and fashion images in general, whether these are like Instagram or fashion magazines, they're trying to sell you like an idea and a look that isn't necessarily meant or they're not expected for you to be wearing out and about in everyday life.
For me, it's where this divide between what I should look like and what these statements tell me that I should look like versus who am I in real life and how these are unattainable. Like, we're already starting to talk about mental health and obviously body image issues, which we will have to talk about at some point.
100%. I think that there is a disconnect between fashion and real life. And, you know, it's like when you're watching a movie, like, you know that a movie is like not real. For some reason, when we watch fashion, like, we should think of it as like watching a movie. Like, it's not real. Mm-hmm. Magazines is the same thing. Instagram is the exact same thing. It is not real. But it's really difficult to continually tell yourself that, right? Because you're constantly bombarded with these images. And, you know, when you're at a movie theater, it's very specific and you don't have to do the work of constantly telling yourself that it's not a real thing because you're at the movie theater.
And there might be a dragon.
Absolutely. Versus, you know, all of these images that want to somehow imitate real life, but heighten it. And it's a difficult thing to constantly have to juggle with and tell yourself.
I've never thought about it like watching a movie, but that's something I will take away from this episode. If we go back to a more day-to-day, you know, dressing, you said in the intro that every day you partake in fashion, even when you decide not to. So how do you think dressing has an impact on how we feel?
I definitely think it has a big impact because depending on what you are doing that day, whether you were dressed appropriately or not for that event or that day will hinder how you feel. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to actually hit it on the nail, you go through the front door and you're like, okay, I feel good because you are wearing something that you're comfortable in for the setting that you're in. And so that can give you a lot of confidence, right? It can really impact basically how you're feeling in that respect. I think also on a more personal level, it can really help you get out of a funk. You know, sometimes when you're not feeling super well and you really need like a pick-me-up, you're going to go to that favorite sweater. Do you know what I mean? Like we all have those favorite items that we know make you feel good. I think everyone in their closet has this pair of jeans or this shirt that's like their go-to shirt because they feel really good in it, right? And so it's something that we don't necessarily think about, but it's there, right? It's unconscious, right? And we have some items that we've worn so much, so many years, that then they fall apart and we're so sad that we have to throw it away or we try to like salvage it or repair it. And sometimes it's like beyond, you know, repair. And so there's an emotional, I think, connection and attachment that we have to our clothing because it's something that you have on your body. So you can't really get more personal than that. And so the sensations that particular garment can give you physically will definitely affect you emotionally, right? And there are certain things that we like and certain things we don't like. But it really, I think, affects us more than we actually think it does.
So what you're saying, and in the fight to know what comes first, the chicken or the egg, we don't know if I can feel crappy all day because I maybe put the wrong thing on my body or if I put the wrong thing on my body because I was feeling crappy this morning.
Yes, that's a chicken and egg situation for sure. But I definitely think if we make an effort to be more conscious about it, I think we can use it to our advantage. But yeah, it's tricky. It's not easy.
So we are now at the end of summer 2021. And so working from home has been a thing for a year and a half. I try not to talk about the pandemic too much on my show, but we need to at this point. It's fascinating how many people discovered that working wearing comfortable clothing was great instead of having to squeeze themselves in those uncomfortable whatever they were having to wear at work. And I wonder how this may have had an impact on people's physical, mental health, and also if it will continue to have an impact on who we are as a society. Maybe not who we are, but how we dress as a society in the future.
I think we've gotten used to this comfort for sure. And it might definitely be difficult for some of us to go out into the world, period. Like not even work, you know what I mean? Like just getting out and having to dress for whatever it is. And I do think that it's forever shifting. I don't think that it's something that will always stay. You know, throughout time in history, fashion and how we live and society continues to evolve. And this is the moment that we happen to find ourselves in. But it might not always be that way.
Yeah. How we dress also has an impact about how we move through life. You talked about class, you talk about race. Obviously, I'm white, so I don't want to talk about something that I don't experience. I think as a white person, I have the privilege to be taken seriously if I go somewhere in sweatpants and a sweater. And I think not everybody has that same privilege as me. So I think clothes and fashion really have an impact on how people perceive you and how people will treat you, especially probably if you're not white, if you're not cisgender, if you're not middle class or upper middle class.
This is absolutely right on the nail. I think, you know, it's great that you identified something like this because it's definitely true. When I was younger, I remember like my parents were always very, oh, you have to like make sure you're always clean or you look a certain way, or, you know, again, because, you know, being Mexican, you want to make sure that people don't think that you are a danger or whatever it is. There's something, I think, for sure to be said about how our clothes can actually help tremendously in order to gain access to certain places or certain things.
Can I ask you maybe a more personal question about this? You say you're Mexican living in Canada, and you're explaining that your parents were kind of telling you you have to overcompensate all the time with the way you look and with your clothing and with fashion. Did you feel that this had an impact on you maybe as a kid? Does it still have an impact on you today?
For sure. And, you know, I think this is actually something that's also very culturally Mexican. I think it's something not particularly specific to my parents. I think even in Mexico, like, people really want to look their best. You know, we have a lot of class differences in Mexico because we have a lot of wealth inequality. And so there's a constant sort of negotiation that is going on. And so I would have to say that this was informed, yes, by my parents, yes, by living in Canada, but also by being, you know, in Mexico when I was young, and I would go back for vacation, and I would notice that other kids would dress differently than I did, because I was, you know, in Canada. And maybe my parents, I don't think they were as strict as they would have been had we been living in Mexico. And I would also notice that my parents would immediately like bring that message up even higher when we were in Mexico. Like, that would be even more pronounced. So that definitely had an impact into one of the reasons why I'm interested in fashion. And I think throughout my life, there have been very clear moments when you realize that you were either turned away because of what you were wearing, or that you were able to access a place or be able to talk with certain people because of what you were wearing, because your person like doesn't really change, right? Like, my skin tone is the same, my face is the same, but like, ta-da, I'm wearing something different and things are different.
Have you noticed like more instances of racism when you dress a certain way?
Maybe like nowadays I experience all of that less. But in the past, you know, I think I definitely experienced it. But now, because I'm very intentional about, you know, what I'm wearing, where I am wearing it, it's a part of a piece that I navigate, right? How do I avoid racism? How do I avoid being perceived as a threat, being perceived as someone unwanted? All of these things are things that come into, you know, a calculation. And obviously, there are certain times that I'm like, I really want to wear this, and therefore, I will not get on the subway in Chicago, like, at night. Or I will not get on the subway, period.
Yeah.
And so there are definitely things that me personally, have to constantly negotiate if I would like to continue to dress in the way that I dress. And there are certain places that I just simply just don't go to, or, you know, like, I don't go to like a country club in the South. Like, that's just not a place I'm ever going to go to, regardless of what I'm wearing.
What I'm hearing also between the lines is that on top of race and culture, you said you were gender non-confirming. So I'm also assuming that some of your choices when it comes to fashion are gender non-confirming, and there's a sense of safety that you can have or not have in certain places where you decide to defy gender norms more with your clothing on some day.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And, you know, I started wearing dresses, I would say, probably about maybe 3 years ago. And it's definitely the kind of thing where I feel like I'm in a privileged position where I can confront those gender norms, because I don't necessarily have to, you know, work in a specific place, or there are certain things that I know that I can do where I think it's like, it's safe enough for me, right? So when you say, okay, like, I'm going to wear this dress and these heels, and, you know, I have long hair at the moment, it's like, you have to assess, like, where am I going? Like, I'm not going to go to like a dive bar, because that would be perhaps a bit too much of pushing the agenda and also putting myself in danger. But I will say, okay, I can go to like this restaurant because I know it's like kind of like in a more like crowded area, and the likelihood of something really dangerous happening to me is like a lot lower. And so when I can, and I feel like it's safe enough for me to do so, I will always try to defy gender norms. And that's just something that has become just very important. And it, you know, it's just the moment I started wearing dresses, it felt so freeing to me. It was like so not constricting. And when you put pants on, you're like, oh my God, everything is like crushed. You're like, oh, this is so tight. This is, you know, and there's something that I find very freeing about a lot of the stuff that I wear that I would like for other people to also kind of maybe, you know, when they see me, particularly like young kids, they tend to be very, they don't hide their amazement when they look and they stare and they point and stuff. But I hope that they can be like, oh, that's something different. Like you can wear something different. You can be somebody different. And so to me, it's a form of justifying really the society that we live in that I think can be very cruel and very, you know, demanding on the most marginalized people. And it's not fair.
How did it feel working in fashion, being very around like those high fashion and those runways and thinking, okay, I want to wear a dress and I want to wear dresses. Did you have to come to a place where when I wear dresses, obviously it does not look like it looks on the runway? Like, was this a thing for you? How did you go around with that? How does it feel to wear a dress because you want to wear one and not looking like the feminine high fashion idea that you have? How did you reconcile all of this?
For me, I think that's an ongoing thing that I personally still struggle with. And so, you know, there are still certain items that I would love to wear that I don't wear. Example, a crop top.
Yeah.
There's something about it that I find like very alluring and, you know, but I bought one recently when I was in Miami and, you know, I put it on and I was like, oh, you know, like I don't look how I want to feel, you know? And so I think for me, the way that I'm able to reconcile not looking necessarily like a high fashion model is by everything that all the other stuff that that piece of clothing awards me. So whether it's the hype privilege, whether it's like walking to a restaurant and having the hostess like notice my look, be like, oh, I love what you're wearing and give me like a better table. Do you know what I mean? It's like all of those little things that I'm like, okay, maybe I don't look like a high fashion runway model, but all the things that I want to have access to, all of the things that drive pleasure, happiness, et cetera, I am getting. So at the end of the day, if you think about like the reason why you want to look like a high fashion model, well, it would be to have access to all these things. Realistically, like I'm not looking like that, but the things that I want to have access to, I have access to. So then that's, I think, how I'm able to just wear what I wear because I get what I need from it.
Yeah, I can see how this would be a whole relearning. You talk about the crop top and I'm thinking if I were to wear dresses, I would have, because I've learned now, because, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, I've learned that sometimes a shirt or pants that are more like traditionally in the male sections, sometimes they fit on my body, sometimes they don't. And I've learned to like deal with that. But then if I were to need to start wearing dresses and skirts, I would need to almost relearn how to dress my body from scratch. And I would like, it would not fall properly at this place. It would be too tight, too loose. And that, like, I'm kind of overwhelmed just thinking about having to relearn to dress my body, like, completely. I would be at a complete loss.
Yeah. And I think what you mentioned, those are all real things that I had to go through, right? The very first time you put something on and it feels unfamiliar and you're like, oh, this doesn't feel right. And it's like, okay. But I think it's kind of like anything. And for me, because clothing has always been really important and because I understand that it's such an important vehicle in life to be able to do what I like to do, you kind of go through that. You go through that process. And yes, it can be a difficult process, but at the end, it can be very rewarding. And I think, you know, obviously some of us choose different things to work on and a different path. But again, because to me, we live our life in clothes every single day. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth taking the time to figure it out.
I'm thinking this is really important. Unfortunately, I think not all of this time is going to be extremely pleasant because you will have to be face to face with your body insecurities in a whole new way, in a whole new line of clothing. I'm wondering, are there days where you don't feel like challenging cultural norms and that you just want to put a hat on and disappear in the crowd?
You know what? There are days when I don't feel like challenging culture and norms, but those are usually days that I don't even leave my house.
Okay.
Again, I think I'm in a very fortunate situation where there are very few things that I have to do, but there are definitely instances when, you know, you're like, oh, I don't. So maybe the intensity or the impact might not be as intense for sure. You know, if I say, okay, well, I'm just, you know, maybe not, you know, wear a dress, maybe I'll just wear like a tracksuit. Obviously, like, you know, the tracksuit that I have is like a bright red.
Just something subtle.
So, but, I mean, there are certain things that for me are maybe also like not as daring as in comparison to other people. To other people, I think we all have our different levels of like what is really, you know, for us high stakes and what's very low stakes. So maybe on the outside, if you were to look at me, you'd be like, oh no, you're challenging like gender norms today because look at you. And I'd be like, well, actually, no, this is like really not. But yeah, there are definitely days when you just, when you don't want to be necessarily confronted with the looks or even sometimes just the attention. Mm-hmm. And so if I can, I try to just not leave my house. But when I do, you know, and then I'll wear something that I know is like true and tried that is just like, that will pass.
Yeah. So we've talked about a gender role and we've touched a little bit about like it was adjacent talking, but we didn't talk a little about like body size and fashion.
That can be like its own podcast episode. Like,
it's all season, I think.
Yeah, it can, you know, there's a lot to be said. You know, I think it's unfortunate that the fashion industry doesn't have a more diverse range of bodies. That's for sure. I wish that there was a bit more variety of everything. You know, I think what's also really tricky when talking about fashion and body size is the image that is projected of like, this is the ideal body size, mm-hmm. You know, and this has changed through time and history. But whatever moment you're in, sometimes some of us are lucky and we fit right in. And sometimes some of us are not. Generally, it's really difficult to have to come to terms with like, oh, I don't necessarily have the body of a supermodel. However, I think to me, it really comes down to how you feel in what you're wearing. And so regardless of what your body may look like, I think if we concentrate on how we make our body feel, that's where we can really like push aside and really like find a little segue for ourselves that isn't whatever the fashion industry wants you to look like. And I think if you're able to accept your body, which is really difficult, I struggle with that. You know, it's not like I've surpassed that. I don't think anybody has. And I think even honestly, like you would think that models are like people that are very secure and like, you know, self-confident. They're not. Not all of them are.
Yeah.
But we're all human. And that's, I think, what we really have to remember. It's like we're all human and we're all different and that's okay. And it's difficult to have to find your own path. And yeah, the fashion industry definitely needs to do a better job at being more representative of what's out there.
Yeah, I think one thing that irks me with the fashion industry is there's not like a gradient of body. There are going to be like the skinny models and then the bigger models and nothing sort of like in between person. And that really annoys me.
I think that's a very interesting observation. And I think it's difficult because fashion is very much a visual medium. But I think we can't forget that we are lived experience. You are not constantly looking at yourself. Mm-hmm. The fraction of a second of where you get dressed in the morning and you say, okay, I want to look like this image is just that moment. Because the rest of the day, you're not actually thinking, oh, I look like so-and-so, or I look like this image, or I look like that image. And even though the fashion industry has really presented fashion as a visual medium and that the way that you should choose fashion is visual, that is really not the only way to choose it. And that is not necessarily always the best way to choose it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I tell a lot of people, don't necessarily try to look like someone or try to look like a certain image. I think you should think about how you want to feel in your clothes, because that image that you're looking at, that you say, I want to look like that, there's an emotional response, right? Of like, what is that image that you're looking at? What is the emotional response? Is it because that person looks fabulous, because they look grown up, because they look sexy, because they look seductive. Like, what is it that that image, what is the emotion that that image is bringing up in you? And then take that emotion and actually go try to find clothing that gives you that emotion. When you dress yourself, you may not even look like that initial image that brought you that emotion, but ultimately what you're looking for is that, right? You're looking for, I want to feel glamorous, or I want to feel whatever it is. And so what is it that you're wearing that will give you that feeling? And so, yes, being in front of the mirror to see how things look on you is a part of fashion, but a very, very, I would say even bigger part is how you feel in it. How tight, how loose, how soft, how hard, the colors. So there are so many ways that we can think about fashion and dressing ourselves that are not visual, that I think are escaping a lot of people. So I would like to invite everyone to think about fashion more of as a feeling than a look.
Right. So instead of trying to copy the pieces that I see in this magazine, trying to copy what is the overall look and feeling that this image is showing.
Yeah. Because when you look at a fashion image, it really comes down to, like, there's this reaction of whether it's like, oh my God, this person looks super desirable. They look super sexy, or they look super hot, or they look X, Y, and Z. And that's ultimately what we're chasing, right? That's what we're chasing by chasing fashion. We want to feel that. We want to feel desirable. We want to feel whatever it is.
Yeah. I spent so much money in my 20s buying clothes that looked good in the mirror, but made me feel really bad when I was wearing them, because they were just not comfortable, tight at the wrong places, and not the right fabric. So hopefully I know how to shop a little bit better now. Mm-hmm. Zen, we've talked a lot. We are kind of already starting to give tips on how to deal with fashion and mental health. So let's take the break and then come back and really dive in into how to help, how to be better, and just small things that maybe can uphold our life better. Last section of this last episode of season one of Mental Health Much, talking about fashion. We're going to be talking about things that help, small tips to make life maybe easier or better. And we've already named some. I think the biggest one is what we were talking just before the break. Not trying to necessarily recreate pieces, but thinking about how things feel on the body and go with the feeling more than just the image. I think this is going to be a revelation for a lot of people to think about going shopping, not visually, but with all of their other senses and with their emotions. I think this is not a thing that people do a lot. Shopping is very visual, especially with those giant mirrors everywhere. And another thing that we said that helped is that someday it's okay to not have the energy to challenge social norms. Zen, what else can be helping when we talk about fashion and mental health?
One of the things that I think is really, really important that I myself still struggle with is giving yourself permission to wear whatever you want to wear, in the sense that we have a lot of limitations that we put on ourselves of like, oh no, this type of garment isn't for me because I don't have the body, or I don't have this or that or whatever, you know, and so we don't give ourselves permission to maybe gravitate to the other gender, right? And say, okay, like that's the women's section or that's the men's section. You know, like there's nothing that says you can't go browse or try something on. So I think giving yourself permission to really let your inner desires come out and speak to you and say, okay, like there's certain things that catch my eye in a store, but I'm like, oh no, that's, you know, it's too shiny or whatever. So just really give yourself permission to explore when you're shopping, and even within your own closet, or whenever you're dressing yourself, really giving yourself permission and not being as restrictive, because I know we all do that. I certainly do that. So I think that's something to really keep in mind, because otherwise you're just limiting and going back to the same patterns and the same things you were doing before.
Yeah. And one thing about giving yourself permission and fighting against the grain that you told me when we were not recording is that when you first started wanting to wear dresses or clothes that were in the women's section, you did not know which change room to go to. Like, do you go to the change room that is in the section of where you're shopping, or do you, because you were assigned male at birth, go to the complete other side of the store to try things in the quote-unquote male changing room? In some store, fortunately, this is changing, and like, the changing rooms are for everyone, but there's still a lot of stores that have women changing room and men changing room.
Absolutely. A lot of the times, depending on the store, it's sometimes not even up to you as a customer. You know, if you have people that are attending the fitting rooms, and they send you somewhere, you kind of have no choice to go where they're sending you. I think if the fitting rooms are just open and you can just walk in, go wherever you feel comfortable. But I don't think you should let that deter you from trying on the garment that you want to try on.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I do when I shop, I really dislike shopping, and I know it's a little bit of a privilege for me to be able to do that because I have like a credit card and I'm able to do this. And I know if I buy clothes in the men's size of the store, I kind of know what sizing might or might not fit my body. But I've been doing a thing a lot where I just buy everything that I'm interested in, and then I tried it on at home, and then I return what I don't like. And it just gives me the time when I'm at home to actually explore the clothes more than in that little place where the lighting is not always what I want, the mirror is not always what I want. I'm normally, especially if you're shopping in the winter, you have your coat on, so you're sweaty, and then you have your coat and you have like everything and you're trying to change, and then I get nervous and I'm wondering, am I taking too much time in the changing room? And so I just skip that completely now, and I buy everything and I try it at home. It also gives me the chance to try it with like, oh, I'm buying these pants, I'm going to see if they fit with that shirt. And I can make a pile yes, make a pile no, and make a pile maybe, and then the next morning I can try my pile maybe again and see how I feel the next day in them. But again, that does mean that I sometimes purchase for a lot of money in clothing, because sometimes pants, I'm like, well, I'm going to buy those pants in two different sizes.
Absolutely.
It's been really sort of like helping me. And I started doing this in the pandemic because a lot of places won't let you use the change room. And at first I was really annoyed. And now I'm like, oh, this is so much better. I have so much time to experience the clothes and see if I like it or not.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that you've found your own strategy making this experience work for you. And I do think it's definitely worthwhile being in a place where you feel comfortable. I would also say that this is a very good strategy for online shopping when you don't necessarily know your size or whatever. It's better to just get a few different sizes and then you can return them. I definitely think this is a great strategy for you to be more comfortable, take your time. And yeah, I love it.
I always check in with the stores too before I do that. I always check in to make sure that they resell returns because I think some of the places don't resell returns and they just scrap them. And then that is not something I feel very comfortable with. So if you want to do that, maybe that's something that you want to check in with the store.
Yeah, and also check the return policies, right?
Yeah.
Check to make sure you're not buying something that's final sale or, you know, obviously, yes. Yeah, do your homework and make sure that you can return the stuff that you might not want.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about clothing sizes, I think that's also something that can really be helpful if you think about not really putting yourself in this box of like, I am a medium. Because, you know, I think that if you really ignore the clothing sizes, because I think people maybe don't really realize this, and maybe they think that all the clothing, there's like the standard medium size, like there's no such thing. Like every single brand, they all have their own way of sizing things and doing things. So really like a medium is not the same in all brands. So it would be very helpful when you're shopping to just chuck that out the window. Don't necessarily think about, oh, I'm usually a large and they don't even have a large in this, so I'm not even going to bother. But if you really like the item, you know, maybe try on the medium or try on the extra large or even try on the small. It might look a little different from what you're used to, but it might still work. And this is something, you know, that obviously I've known from working in fashion, but also my own personal experience when I started wearing women's dresses. Like I can wear a medium, I can wear a large, I can wear an extra large. You know, like even like my husband, he wore a dress for the first time a couple weeks ago and he wore one of my dresses and we're very different in height and size and body build. But because of the material, because of the style of the dress, he was able to wear it. And it was cool. He had a great time. He loved it. So don't let a letter or a number dictate whether that garment is for you or not.
Yeah, and maybe destigmatize in your head and in society, but that's harder, the word large or extra large. There's so much message in society telling us that a large body is a bad body, that when you have to go and buy clothes that are large or extra large, it takes a minute. And again, I was telling it that I wasted a lot of money when I was in my 20s. It was just because I don't think mentally I was ready to buy clothing that said the word large or extra large on it. And at some point I had to just realize, well, Vincent, this is the body that you have, and stop wasting money on buying articles of clothing that are too small. You know, when you shop, like sometimes the medium would like fit for me at the store, but then as soon as you wash it, the fabric shifts a little bit and then it no longer fits. And that's also a nightmare when you're shopping. Consider that clothing's are going to shift as soon as you wash it. And that's hard to know how it's going to change.
You know, usually when you're talking about cotton, obviously, is, you know, more than natural fibers, they definitely tend to change. I think synthetic fibers, those do not. But yeah, I think it can be like a little tricky. And I think it's ultimately just like with experience of like, once you've been out there, you've been to that store enough times, you've bought enough of their items, you know how that's going to change once you put it in the wash or your, you know, whatever it is that you do with it. You can also modify your clothing. Like, don't be afraid to like get that hem shortened, whether you can do it yourself or take it somewhere. You know, I think tailoring your clothes can be kind of like a really nice way to make something very personal to you and fit to you as you like it.
And then be even more sad when this piece of clothing is worn out after a few years.
I know.
Is there anything else that helps with fashion and mental health?
You should just have fun with it. Within the frames of what we can do within society, obviously there are limits. Don't take it seriously. Like literally, like the best approach is to have fun with it and, you know, go get that feeling that you're looking for.
Yeah. One thing you said is like learning how to dress your body and what your body likes. And that includes colors, styles, and fabric. And I think fabric is often not talked as much as it should. Like learning what fabric feels comfortable, I think is really important when it comes to fashion. When we talk about not just the way it looks, but the way it feels.
100%.
Maybe one last small thing. If you one day feel very bold and want to get out there and dress and have this statement and you're unsure of yourself, maybe it could help to bring an extra clothing or sweater with you so that if you change your mind halfway through the day or you've had enough of this style, maybe you can change into something more comfortable.
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, several people, you know, will do that. I've seen people will bring like a certain pair of shoes, like some heels, and then they'll have something else to change into later for sure. I think, and this is one of the reasons why I tend to overpack, because I like to have those options. I like to be like, oh yeah, no, this is not working. And so I think as many options as you can have readily available to you, the better.
Yeah. And I think having your own personal journey of challenging fat phobia. And I've been on that journey for a while now with the amazing podcast Maintenance Phase and with Christy Arison and her book. And it's just really interesting to destigmatize, like I was saying, the word large, like large is beautiful. And, you know, the journey that I did with like diversifying my social media feed and following people that did look like me or that were doing fun things with their fashion, I think that's really important too. And it's an everyday battle that we both need to do on a society level, but that you can also start doing on the personal level.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Zent, this is the end. This is the end of season one.
Oh my God. Congratulations, Vincent, honestly, on such a great season. I loved every single episode. I never missed an episode, been listening to every single one as soon as they come out. So congratulations. And, you know, I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you. Thank you for being my biggest fan. number one fan. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for finishing this season so in such a lovely way with me. And Yeah, I cannot thank you enough.
Thank you.
And everyone, I will see you really soon for season 2 and season 3. And in the meantime, thank you for listening. Do not hesitate to give me a rating or a comment and to subscribe to this podcast. If you want to stay in contact with me, you can follow the Mental Health Much Instagram account. Until the next episode, until the next season, actually, please keep talking about mental health to everyone as much as you can and keep safe.